Welcome to Talking Europe. Now, it's hardly breaking news that Europe's relations with the United States have been a little frosty lately. And let me just give you one number right now to show just how frosty it's been. And that's 16. 16 is the percentage of Europeans, 16%, who said in a survey by a top European think tank just late last year that they viewed the U.S. as an ally who shares their values and their interests. And that's down from 21% just 2 years ago. So it's falling. Now, it's a sobering number, I think, for my guest today. His name is Brando Benife. And as you might imagine, he is an MEP from Italy. But more importantly is one of his positions, and that is he is the head of the European Parliament Committee for Relations with the United States. I'll say that once more. The chair of the European delegation in the Parliament for Relations with the United States. I think you have a sense, a very tough job. Welcome to Talking Europe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, look, we all know the script here, right? We know Donald Trump is reviving his tariff threats. We know that a trade pact is frozen right now with the EU and Europe. We know that Europe, Donald Trump has accused Europe of, quote, civilizational erasure. Let me ask you something. Given your position, with friends like that, do you need enemies?
Well, we are trying to be very constructive. We think that the transatlantic relation is still very important, notwithstanding these difficulties, because it's based on common interests, on economic interests, on security interests. However, I think it's very important that we clarify that we cannot be disrespected, that we need to be treated fairly, that we need to not hear aggressive words all the time from the administration, because this is not helpful to maintain relations that are important also for the U.S. Economy and society. I go very often to U.S. because of my role, and I see how many local businesses, how many organizations, how many states, how many cities are worried of degradation of the relation with the EU, because they know they are impacted by that, because they have a strong relation for economy, for culture, for jobs. And I think this is not the way forward. So we need to find solutions. We need to be constructive, but we demand respect.
And so this is it. You demand respect. We've seen a lot of EU officials taking the diplomatic route. They don't want to get Donald Trump too angry. Do you think they're going too far? I guess the question I want to know is, when do you begin to retaliate? When do you make good on the retaliation?
I think that on the Greenland issue, when there was this threat to the sovereignty of on a territory that is part of a European country, Denmark, the reaction from the governments and from the EU institutions being clear that we would have to retaliate firmly, inevitably, I would say, I think it worked, because in my opinion, the fact that now there is an ongoing, more calm, more reasonable dialogue on the future of Arctic security for that part of the world is due to the fact that we finally have shown a little more determination from our governments. And in my opinion, it's important that our American counterparts understand, I say that every time, our constituents want us to be firm. They want us to be tough. And we do not like escalation. It's useless. It's not good. But we will not accept to be treated badly. And so I think that in the next steps, also for the trade deals, we need to see full confidence and a constructive attitude from both sides if we want that to function.
You said that you've been to the U.S., you've spoken with local people on not just national level, and there's a sense you get that they want a good relationship. What about the Congress? You know a little bit about the U.S. Congress.
Absolutely.
Where are they? Are they going to speak out at some point?
Well, I lead this delegation of the European Parliament, which has the prime role of having a dialogue with the Congress. So I meet regularly in presence, but also at a distance with a video call, members of Congress from both parties.
Could you name some names?
Well, we have a few that are formally part of this dialogue, and you could find it also web page of the Congress. But we have Republicans. For example, a Texan Republican, Moran, is leading this work for the Republicans. We have Costa from California, from the Democrats, that is doing it for the Democratic Party. And we have many members that are participating from our side and their side. And the message is clear. They want a constructive dialogue and a better relation with the EU. They think that we need to find solutions on the existing issues. Some of them might be more pro-Trump, but all of them, they want the relation to work. And so we need to be clear on where are our limits and what we can do and what we can't do.
Clarity. Another issue of clarity recently, the European Union signed, I guess, a landmark trade treaty with India. You were recently, I think you said end of October, in India.
Yeah.
Was this part of that strategy of Europe showing the U.S., well, this is what's going to happen?
Well, I think we need to be clear with the U.S. that we have other options on the trade part, and we are working for differentiation and diversification of our trade routes. India is very important now for various sectors, agriculture, mechanical industry, semiconductors. In fact, it's hosting, and I will be there, the World AI Summit in India that follows the one in Paris that was just last year. And I think we made a very good deal because it opens the Indian market for a lot of European goods.
What will be the AI impact on trade with respect to Europe right now?
Well, I'm working on this topic. In fact, having worked for many years on AI in this parliament, leading the work on the AI regulation, I'm now working on this intersection between AI and trade. In fact, AI can be very useful, for example, that's something I'm studying and writing in my report, to contrast this kind of problems that we see today in trade, like violation of rules, the entry of forbidden products into the markets, so the violation of norms that regulate our system of trade to make it functioning. So AI can be very good, among other things, to keep everything on track and make people understand that we have rules, we have agreements, and we will make them respected.
Do you think that Europe could ever, if not be dominant, could catch up to the U.S. and China in AI?
Well, I think Europe needs to strengthen its computational capability and its integration of the financial market. Without more capital mobilized on AI and more computational capability, which is part of initiatives taken by the European Commission, the so-called AI Factories initiative that will increase our capabilities on training and developing AI. If we do not accelerate on this, we will not catch up. Otherwise, I think that we can be an important player, maybe working with other powers that seem to be willing to work with us, especially on tech. I give you two examples. UK and Canada today are very much working with us on technology in the idea that together we can have a better dialogue with the US.
I'd like to ask you this. I know you're not an Italian politician. You're from Italy in the European Parliament. I don't want to go into domestic politics, but look, I want to ask Giorgia Meloni, how would you assess her approach to Italy's relationship with Donald Trump? Is she doing a good job? Is she taking the right approach, or is it too soft?
Well, I think that Meloni's approach has been very bad because she tried to appease Mr. Trump without any real result for my country. In fact, during the trade negotiations, I give you an example, Germany was also very soft. But in the end, they got a very good deal on the cars, which are important also for Italy, but mostly for Germany. While Italy was pursuing agreements, better tariffs for agricultural goods and for mechanical industry, and we didn't get any. Because to be frank, I think Meloni is too much ideologically pursuing a close relationship with Trump that she thinks it's important for her politically, but it's not doing it in the way that defends really the Italian interest. So my message to Meloni is to be closer to the other European leaders, work more together, because only together we can be on an equal basis in a dialogue with the US.
So Europe maybe has had a little bit of an impact. The trade war seems to have, for now, died down a little bit. I want to end with this, your thoughts on, I said you are the chairman of the European Parliament's Delegation for Relations with the United States, a long title. Do you think that your job is more to make that a stronger relationship or just to do damage control right now?
I think we should do both. Obviously, on some areas, we need to do some damage control because we are not in a good situation, and that's unfortunate. I'm a convinced transatlanticist. I think we need to still believe that we can work with the US. And in fact, there are many areas where we are working very well. Whatever is the situation with the administration, that is not always very easy, to say the least. So I think that our job is to strengthen ties and control the damage where we can only do that.
Final line, and I want one line. You're right now sitting in the Oval Office with Donald Trump, okay? You have gotten a meeting with him. Just pretend, imagine. Yeah. Okay, you have 5 minutes. Tell me. I don't have 5 minutes. You have with him. Yeah. Tell me one line directly to him that you would like to say.
Difficult question, but I would say Europe and US can prosper together. And it has been for a long time, and we need to continue in this direction.
We can end on a note of optimism there. Brando Benife, thank you so much. MEP from Italy with a tough diplomatic job right now. He's trying to keep the US-Europe relationship on an even footing right now in very turbulent times. Thank you all for watching the interview here on Talking Europe.